Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome in Browns analyst Nathan Zakura. Top of the morning. Afternoon to you, buddy.
Yeah, good afternoon to you as well.
So I guess we're just going to start here. How'd you think Deshaun played yesterday?
I thought he played much better. I think that was one of the few bright spots for the Browns. Pro Football Focus gave him the highest grade he's received since 2020 when he was still a member of the Houston Texans. I thought he threw the ball well. I think if you throw a perfect pass down to Amari Cooper that turns into an interception, the questionable hold wipes off an 82-yard touchdown. It could have been a 290, two touchdowns, 300 yards, two touchdown game with a rating well in the hundreds that I think everybody would have been really excited. And more importantly, a Browns win. I mean, it's hard. There are no moral victories. This is an awful loss. Last week was an awful loss to the Giants, but your quarterback has shown a lot of toughness. I think he has been beaten up and made a lot of, I thought, really good throws against the Raiders.
So I'm so glad you mentioned the Nick Harris holding. I'm sure you've watched it a few times by now.
Yeah.
Should it have been called?
I don't think so. I'll just defer to the opinion of Joe Thomas and Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker was on the broadcast. He, played offensive line in the National Football League. He was apoplectic, did not think it was a hold. And then talking with Joe, he was in the frame, and it's really only a hold if they get out. They beat your feet, and you hold them back. And he said at no point was Nick Harris beaten on that play and thought it was a horrific call. And it's, first of all, late flag. Not one that should be, I don't think it should have been called. And it's unfortunately a game-changing play. But the Browns still had ample opportunity to go win that game and were unable to do so.
How far away do you think the offense is? Because I agree, Deshaun took a big step this week. But just offense at large, how close are they to being where they want to be?
It feels like not that close. And the reason I say that is because the problems that have plagued them this year continue to plague them, whether that be is poor pass protection, dropped passes, penalties, pre-snap penalties, motion penalties. We had another one that took a first down off the board. We can't really run the ball effectively. Our running backs aren't even getting a yard down the field before they take contact. We have yet to score 20 points in a game as an offense. So it doesn't feel like we're that close. I'd like to think we are. I do think there's talent. I think, the one guy that has played pretty well all season is Jerry Jeudy. But it just hasn't been good enough. So I'd like to think that we're close. I think there are signs every week that we're getting close. But our inability to kind of string it all together, certainly not for 60 minutes, is tough.
Nathan, this is not just a Browns question, but it did happen in yesterday's game, which is why it's coming up. How often is the keep the offense on the field to draw opposing teams offsides? How often does that call actually work in an NFL game? Because I watched four games this weekend. Everybody did it, and nobody got the offsides. The opposing defense to come offsides.
It doesn't seem to happen as often as maybe you would like, but if it works one time in a season and you steal a first down, that would be great. But at the same time, those timeouts come with cost. And, in the first half, no cost there. I was surprised they didn't kick the field goal, because from 56, he was good from, it looked like 70. So 58, 56, what's the difference there? So I was surprised they didn't kick that one. But the one at the end of the game, the only the question that I have kind of in my head on that one is, if you didn't convert on fourth down, let's say you just kind of went hurry up on fourth down, got up to the line, you ran your play, tried to get your 3 yards. If you get it, obviously great, you can go win the game. If you didn't get it, though, you had the Raiders backed up, and you had three timeouts. So you had a good chance to run, get the ball back. You would have, you know, gone quicker, so you wouldn't have taken the time off before you took the timeout, and maybe get it back with 45 seconds. Sure, you need to go a touchdown with no timeouts, but stranger things certainly have happened in this league, but it would have given you another bite at the apple. And so once you use that timeout, that was it. That play, use time and then the timeout, that play then became for the game, and there was no recourse should you not get the first down, and the Browns weren't unable to do so.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So you mentioned the fourth down play. Deshaun gets bottled up in sack there. How and why did that play go wrong? How much of that is on Deshaun, and how much of that is on what's happening around him?
I mean, you'd have to, the coaches are certainly better equipped to answer that. I'll just give you kind of my amateur eye opinion on that particular play. And what I saw was, it was clear that the read, or the initial read that he was going to make, was to the left side of the formation. And I know a lot of people have taken kind of that screenshot of it. And I think that he was looking for, in that combination, you bring the motion over, and then now he's looking for, Amari comes over, and you're running that kind of two-person route on this side, and you're looking at Akins. And now, could he have potentially got that ball into Jordan Akins? Maybe. It's possible, but number zero, Bennett, is kind of in that stance where he's half open underneath that route. That ball, if he threw it right away, I think maybe you got a chance to get to Akins. The other part of it is, if you were looking to, everybody's kind of then showing Judy, right? Because he's looking left, that pulls the safety out of the middle of the field. Guess who's open? Obviously, Jerry Jeudy. And there's no doubt Jerry Jeudy was open on that post, but he didn't have the time to come off of that initial read and get there. So, yeah, could he have taken a shot to Akins? Yes. But as you kind of let that play out, by the time Akins was ready to kind of actually catch the ball, zero was under. It would have been a tough throw. But what was there was Jeudy. Now, why wasn't he able? Why didn't he have the time to get it to Jerry Jeudy? Well, kind of right off the snap, their four technique lined up between the guard and center, Christian Wilkins, just beat Zach Zinner straight up right up the gut, and forces the flush out from Deshaun Watson. Because by the time it was there, you had, he comes up the gut, you had a looper around him. He had nowhere to go right. He couldn't roll right. He had to go left, and he didn't have the ability. If he had the ability to stay in the pocket and that pressure wasn't there, he hits Jerry Jeudy, I think, on that post, and it's a touchdown and the Browns win. But so I think that the initial read, very difficult throw. Had he had time to come back to the middle of the field, I think it's a touchdown, and he did not have that time.
Nathan, looking to the defense here, what's the difference for MJ Emerson this year versus previous years?
I don't know. He's struggling a little bit, and it's, you know, he's been so good his first 2 years. Last year, he really was one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL in terms of, you know, completion percentage allowed in coverage, rating allowed in coverage. Didn't allow a touchdown all year in 2023. He was had one of the highest forced incompletion rates in the NFL. And this year he's struggling. Part of it's been the matchup with, you know, shorter, quicker guys. He's at his best against, you know, he would have been great against Davante Adams. He's at his best against guys like Mike Adams. He's not as shifty, but he's got good long straight line speed. He's good in those press coverages. But, you know, perhaps he's right now just confidence, I think, is a big thing. I don't know if he's struggling with that a little bit, but you're seeing kind of bigger cushions being given on some of the routes that make easy kind of pitch and catches for the quarterback and the receiver. So hopefully he can get there. Immensely talented kid. He's been great for the Cleveland Browns. You know, he's one of three corners in the league that had 14 passes defensed in the last each of 22 and 23. So he's been very good and productive, but he's just in a little bit of a slump right now. And I think it's kind of a combination of a lot of things that have led to, you know, we're tackling worse than we've tackled at any point last year, and certainly this year. This game, season high Pro Football Focus numbers. Next Gen Stats had it even higher, but 12 missed tackles in this one. They had 11 last week, and you know, the game at its most base level is what? Blocking and tackling. And right now the Browns are not good at blocking, and they're not good at tackling, and it's that makes it very difficult to win no matter what the level of football is that you're playing.
So you mentioned the tackling. They struggled in the run game. There was a lot of cushion in some of the coverage as well. The speed off the edges, specifically the kid from CVCA down in Akron, was fantastic early in that game. Is this a little bit to clean up here with the defense, or are there bigger things to work at?
I think it's little things. Obviously, tackling, if you can get that shored up, you'll be in a better spot. It's situational penalties. Think about, last week you have the roughing the passer negates an interception. This week it's a roughing the passer on third down. You were going to get off the field, get the ball back. Instead, they go on to score points. So you've got to clean those penalties up. You got to clean the missed tackles up. And if you have an opportunity to do it, you have a chance to go on and win.
Browns analyst Nathan Zagura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So you mentioned the field goal that was not to be at the end of the first half there. Kevin said after the game they were probably more comfortable keeping the opposing offense pinned back as opposed to going for the 58-yard field goal. Was there anything other at play specifically with Dustin Hopkins and maybe health, or was this all on just the preference to try and pin the Raiders back?
There's certainly nothing that I know of that would have been the issue there. I wonder if, what they were thinking at that time was, okay, we were in control of this game. Now it's kind of getting a little bit away from us. They had just gotten a 52-yard field goal and a touchdown, so they just tied it at 10-10. There wasn't a ton of time left. You were inside of the two-minute warning. The Raiders took a timeout at 1:34. You punt with a minute 29 left. And my guess is they just didn't want to, at that point, with the momentum and with the fact that the Raiders were going to get the ball to start the second half. I don't think they wanted to if he missed it, because it's not a 100%. I mean, Dustin Hopkins has been great. He's 11 of 12 from 50-plus yards as a Cleveland Brown, or maybe even better than him. I think he's 12 of 13. I think that has to be what they were thinking there, was the upside of him making it, which is there. I mean, he made a 56-yarder comfortably. It was nothing to do with health, I'm guessing, was if he misses that, though, they're taking over at midfield with a very good field goal kicker of their own and have a chance to take the lead going the half and then get the ball back, and you could all of a sudden, find yourself down two possessions.
Nathan, I'm not one of these people yet, but I've heard a fair amount of people try and proclaim the season over after 4 weeks. Can you talk our friends off the ledge a little bit?
Football is the longest of seasons, and this is, not even the first quarter anymore now that we play 17 games. Did it go the way you wanted? No. Was this an easier quarter of the schedule? Absolutely. But all it takes is getting some of these wins and getting on a roll, but it could get late early, and that's what you need to avoid. I mean, your next stretch is not easy. At Washington, let me tell you something, the Commanders look incredible. Jaden Daniels is playing outrageously good football. Then you go to Philly. They've been up and down, but that's still a talented team, and they'll be healthy by then. They'll have A.J. Brown. They'll have Devontae Smith. Then it's the Bengals and the Ravens at home. I mean, the next four games it is a murderer's row, and it's time to go. You got to go out there and get these wins. So certainly, of course, the season is not over, but this team's got to play better football and do it in a hurry if they want to get themselves back in a position where they can compete for the postseason.
Nathan, I'm just trying to be 1% better. What is the one thing that the Browns need to clear up from their, if just one thing, what's the one thing they can fix heading into the next game?
Tackling. You can't have double-digit missed tackles in a game. You got to tackle. Got to tackle better.
Sounds very succinct. Nathan, really good stuff, buddy. I'm thank you for looking out for young Mac out in Vegas. He's alive and that we were worried about him.
No, he did fine. He was thriving.
Look at that. Proud of him. Proud of you, buddy. Great stuff.
Yes. All right. Thanks, man.
Nathan Zagura there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I'll admit, I didn't handle it as objectively as I handle most things. I know that I earlier in the show is like, well, I don't overreact too much because, at this point I'm just kind of expecting them to disappoint me. Not only did I send out a tweet basically saying, like, the refs must have taken the Raiders, not only did I send out that tweet, this morning I put together a TikTok, at Nick Wilson Says, by the way, if you'd like to follow me, that definitely accused the refs of the same damn thing. So part of me went full fan yesterday and just said, this cannot be a coincidence. And a lot of it was that it was a late flag. There's nothing that annoys me more than when a player is waltzing into an end zone and that's when the flag is thrown. Like, what led to the delay? Did it get caught in your belt? Like, I don't know what could have led an official to wait a whole ass 15 seconds of real time before they're like, you know what, wasn't going to do it, but now that you scored a touchdown, here's the flag. That being said, I don't know how the – listen, I'm a firm believer that on every play you can call holding in the NFL. If that is to be the case, then you should only call flagrant plays. And there were. The Browns had one or two yesterday that were pretty flagrant. But I just don't understand how on every other play, Myles Garrett gets tackled and is grabbed under the arms as he's passing another player, and that's not holding. And then what Nick Harris is doing, which, yeah, he had a hold of him, but he was engaged in the guy's core. And there's, I actually thought, we'll play the Ross Tucker thing here in a minute. Ross gave a pretty good explanation, even though by the time Gene Steratore offered his opinion on it, Ross flip-flopped, and we are going to call him on that on Wednesday. I want a definitive answer by Ross, whether that is a holding call or not. It was an embarrassing call. And the reality is it's an embarrassing call because of the time in the game and because it wasn't flagrant. It wasn't obvious. I have no problem with obvious calls being called back. Listen, guys, if it was so much so that the Raiders defender was, you could literally see with one arm he's being held back, or it changes his direction. It really didn't. Nick Harris had him right there. He had him squared up, and all he was doing was blocking. And I this is what frustrates me is, I'll be honest with you, I think it got called because of the Browns' sloppiness. I think we all know, but we talk all the time about double standards in the NFL. Well, guys, it's as simple as this. If the Browns weren't known as the most penalized team or second most penalized team coming into this game, I don't think that gets called. I think referees know reputations. I think referees know when to call those plays and who to call them on. And the reality is the Browns are the most penalized offensive line in the NFL. They've played like crap. And when you play like crap and you get penalized the way that this offensive line gets penalized, they're going to look for stuff because they know you're a repeat offender. If you are a disciplined offensive line, you don't get called on that. You don't. If it's somebody of a known quantity, this is no disrespect to Nick Harris, who I think has filled in admirably for Ethan Posick, but you don't get called for that. But it's much like if you have one of your kids that constantly acts out, when they do something, you don't really think to the, well, did they really do it, or am I overrated? No. Oh, yeah, it's the problem child. And that's what the Browns are right now. It's almost not worthy being upset about, because the Browns continue to do this to themselves. And that holding call, as atrocious as it was, is just another example of the Browns' reputation biting them in the butt. Now, I do want to play, before we get to some calls here, Larry and Debbie, you guys stick there, 216-474-0092. I want to walk you through Ross Tucker and Gene Steratore's full exchange on CBS this weekend in the Browns game.
Watson buying some time. What? Cooper on the run at the 50-yard line. The 10, the 5, touchdown Browns. And a flag down at the line of scrimmage.
Offense, number 53. First down.
Take the points off the board.
My
it's the backup
word.
Center who's now in for the injured Ethan Posick, Nick Harris.
It's when Watson steps up. Harris needs to try to keep moving his feet. Oh, I don't like that call at all.
Yeah,
we need to get another angle of that. They called that a hold?
Wilkins was the defender there.
Yeah, we're going to check out the reverse angle. I cannot believe they called that a hold right there.
As long as you're keeping that defender or opponent inside your framework, we really don't look at the grab on the pads. Now, with that said, the minute your feet get beat, the minute the defender works himself outside of that framework, you've got to let go. Now, I don't see where that right hand is right there as Watson starts to break. And you can see that Harris is just letting that go. And then you see the backhand that's holding it. You've got to call it at that point now, because now I've worked myself outside of the framework. and that restriction now is putting the defender at a disadvantage.
So from that other angle, that is very rare. It was his left hand. Usually it's your outside hand, but it was actually the left hand, and they saw enough of a jersey stretch right there. I'm okay with it.
I'm just going to say Ross flip-flopped, and everybody needs to know that. What I will say is there's no way in real time the judge who was not right there, right? The judge who did not have that, there's no way he saw that. I'm just going to call complete shenanigans. And again, that call courtesy of CBS. I'm going to call complete shenanigans. Because I think it took the broadcast crew three or four times in slow motion to come up with that. I'm not talking about Ross. I'm talking more about Gene Steratore. Initially, Gene Steratore agreed that it was a pretty tight call, if you will. I'm sorry, guys. If it takes three views on a replay where everything slowed down and you get to see it, if there's no way you called it in real time. It was chippy. It was cheap. It was completely nonsensical. And it's the kind of play that makes you wonder if we just can't have nice things this year. Now, that's not about the Browns. In fairness, I'm not trying to put that on the Browns. But when the best offensive play of the season happens and it gets called back for a ticky-tack hold, it really makes you question whether this thing's going anywhere. And even though I can admit that that is something that you kind of think in real time. 216-474-0092. With a few days, you can calm down. We're almost there. Larry in Cleveland, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
I would like to say, man, thank you for having your show, man. I'd like to say that, man. Skavansky, man, he got to fight for, you know, for the McCalls. He just sit there and don't do nothing but got his arms folded up. Man, I'll be fighting, like, taunting the ref. Like, that was the wrong call. And most of all, the lead need to get some type of way of disputing them calls because that was a critical play. But we should never have been in that position because we had the control of the game. Most of all, I was a coach. I go in and huddle, offense, defense, dominate. I don't care. Just turn your block. Hey, go bring the fullback back, man, because a fullback can block the blitz until Deshaun or the running back can get away, man, or get the pass away, man. It's a lot. It's a time process, man. We got to get it right. They're going to win against Washington. Watch you. But they're going to go on the run, but they got to get their combination, man. And most of all, bring up Tony up for the receivers, all of them. The guys on the reserve, bring them up because we're going to need every help to win. Let's go, Brown. We can do it.
All right, Larry. Once again, Larry bringing a lot there. I don't really know half of what he said, but I know he said it passionately. I know we got to bring the fullback back. I heard that. Got to bring all the wide receivers up off the practice squad. Don't know what that would have solved yesterday. Maybe they could tackle. Maybe we could put them at defensive back or linebacker, defensive. I don't know. Yeah, I think we're just going to move on to Jeremy. Jeremy, you have you've spoken here. What you got for us?
Hey, I appreciate your show and everything that you're doing. I felt last night after watching that game, I said to myself, two things are going to happen tomorrow on Cleveland Sports Radio. Someone's going to start blaming the refs, and we're going to talk about how Deshaun had a good game and the team let him down. I'm just telling you, this team is rotten from the inside out, from the top down. And I don't mean the hearts of the players and the veterans and stuff like that, but watching plays like he's covered in motor oil. He has a fragile ego. It's toxicity in the locker room. It's toxicity amongst the team. They don't want to play for him. Stefanski, he just can't seem to get it right. But we're so confused as to what's going on, and that's because everybody knows. We never should have got rid of Mayfield. We shouldn't have got rid of Flacco. It's like the overwhelming majority of the fans are right and have been right about all of this stuff. And I think it's time to start dumping the veterans and let them have a career and get some draft picks.
Jeremy, we appreciate you. It's a little tough to say that Deshaun's the problem yesterday or that, in your words, that anybody was wrong, that Deshaun had a good game yesterday. With the pass we're talking about, the call back, he would have been 25 of 32 for 245 yards with two touchdowns. So now that being said, do I think that there could be something rotten in the locker room? Yes.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like
bathroom?
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Does that tie back to Joe Flacco? I don't know. Does it tie back into Bill Callahan and AVP not being here? I don't know. Is it a bunch of dudes who've started to smell their own flowers? I don't know. This team has really started to remind me of the 2023 team. Wait, no, that was last year. 2022 team that every time you question them, they got an attitude and made it seem like you were the idiot for questioning a team that ended up winning 7 games. And a lot of that was a defense that thought they were great and then routinely went out there, got run all over, couldn't tackle, and basically is a lot of the same problems we're talking about now. So the answer is, so I agree with Jeremy on one hand. And by the way, the refs aren't why you lost this game. It's every other reason that you lost this game, right? It is the lack of tackling. It is the, but this thing, you can't say that, I think, God, I'm going to do the cliche, and I know it drives everybody crazy. It drives me crazy, too. Two things can be true. It was an egregious miss by the referees, and at the same point, it's not why you lost the game. Because you had 17 other chances in the second half, both offensively and defensively, to either get a stop or get points, and you didn't. It was a drop. It was a holding penalty. It was a bad play by Deshaun. But let's not sit here and say that this is just about Deshaun. It's about a lot more than Deshaun. And it starts with leadership. Some of that is Deshaun, but not all of it. 216-474-0092. We're going to continue to take your reaction on this one. Was it a holding call? Or do you blame the refs a little bit for that specific play? And more on the Browns' latest loss next on 92.3 The Fan. Kevin's coming up within the next 20 minutes here, but myself and Spencer German covered the latest to Ohio State, including the win over Michigan State. It was sloppy, but we'll take it. During our Sons of the Shoe podcast, you guys can check that out wherever you get podcasts. Odyssey, 92.3thefan.com. Apple, Spotify. Have I mentioned Apple? Follow Sons of the Shoe. Today, we appreciate your patronage. And as I almost said, follow me on TikTok. Guys, it's been a day. All right, we're working, at Nick Wilson says, we're working through some things. And quite frankly, where we are with the Browns team is it kind of starts, like the one thing that I can say about where they've started is everything can be better. Like, I think Deshaun played reasonably well yesterday. I think if you keep the touchdown on the board, we're probably saying it's his best game as a Browns quarterback. Now, we'd also be talking about a Browns win. We don't get to talk about it. He had other opportunities to win the game outside of the Amari play. He didn't do it. They lost. We move on. But even saying I thought that was one of Deshaun's better games, I think he can play better. The one thing that I just don't know how we're going to get right at is the offensive line. And I know Posick was hurt. I know Wyatt's out. You know, Zinter got blown up on that fourth down play, which ended the game for the Browns. Okay, that's a rookie. I can deal with that. The situation with DeJuan, like, I'll be honest with you guys, I loved every second about Deshaun going off on DeJuan yesterday. I do. One, because he was right. And two, he did the thing that I think happens when you lose yourself in frustration in the moment. You saw him hyping up DeJuan on the bench afterwards. And that, I think, is the right way to handle it. All right, maybe that first burst of energy didn't get it. I'm going to come back and circle back to it. But, like, you just look at it, and it's just, you know, I asked Nathan earlier this hour, give me one thing. Guys, it can be literally anything. Hey, we're going to tackle better this week. Hey, we're going to be, we're going to block better. I know that's a little bit much. Maybe we're going to try something different on the O-line, whether that's Nick Harris starts this week, whether it's Jermaine Afidi starts at left tackle. I don't know. But the point is, there's so much little slash medium stuff. It shouldn't be hard to get a little bit better somewhere. Almost anything, if you just point in a direction and choose a direction, you should be able to play better. But the problem is now, your steps up each week haven't been good enough against teams that you should be better than, the Giants and Raiders. Now, Jaden Daniels, who's having a historic rookie season, comes into town, and even if you make a big jump this week, it still might not be enough to stop you from going 1-4. And once you get to 1-4, it's going to be tougher and tougher to stop, to basically stave off people saying the season is over. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Mike. Mike says he's a Raiders fan. Please don't gloat too hard there, Mike.
No, I'm not going to gloat. But you guys need to stop with the refs were doing the Raiders a favor. Just think about that sentence, because that doesn't happen, and that doesn't happen ever. I've been a Raider fan for a long time, and I've seen all the games since DirecTV was invented. There's three things. The Raiders have beaten the Browns like four straight now, three in the last 5 years, and they have literally run it down your throat every time. Jacobs, two games, back-to-back years. Jacobs won both those games himself. Two, the other is Colton Miller. Your best player on defense is Myles Garrett. Look up his stats against the Raiders in his career. Colton Miller has owned him. And three, the most talented roster in the NFL does not reside in Cleveland. Because I heard all last week, because I'm a listener, how the Browns are a better team than the Raiders. Maybe in Cleveland. Outside of Cleveland, I don't think too many people think that. Because you can match up player to player on offense and tell me one skill position player that you have that's better than what the Raiders put out there.
Mike, real quick. Sure. Was it holding, yes or no?
It was not. Granted, okay. It's ticky-tack, but did he not have a handful of jersey, and did you see the jersey stretch?
Wait, you just said it was not. I'm sorry. Okay, second thing here.
No. I said it was holding.
Okay.
And don't forget the D score you guys scored. You guys mustered up 7 points. That's not going to win many NFL games.
Colton, Mike, one more time.
Colton Miller.
Did Colton Miller give up two sacks with Miles yesterday or no?
Yeah, that's two. In three games. And I'm not saying you're going to stop Myles Garrett, because he's like a Michael Jordan type guy, but you're going to contain him. My point is, he's not Lawrence Taylor. He did not dictate that game whatsoever. I mean, the Raiders ran down your throats.
All right, Mike, I've given you enough time, my friend. Thank you for the call. We appreciate you listening. I'm sorry, if you give up two sacks to a player who has apparently 2 foot injuries, an Achilles injury, and a thigh, maybe that's the wrong time. If you had called in last week and said how Colton Miller is bottled up Miles, maybe it's a different conversation. Listen, let's get to it. There's really no excuse for the Browns. So I can't really say, like, at this point, you know, we came off last year thinking this is one of the most talented teams in the NFL because they had 11 wins and they'd won, had the number one defense in the NFL, and they'd won with five different quarterbacks. 4 weeks in, they're not playing like that. I tend to think that that shows that maybe they're not disciplined or focused or playing together. Maybe Mike's right. Maybe the simplest answer is you're really just not that talented. Let's go with Josh in Berea. Josh, welcome to the show.
What's up, Nick? Was it holding or not holding? No, it wasn't holding, but they called it anyway. But I'm sick of talking about the penalties. Do you guys know that since Stefanski's been the head coach, we have had the seventh most penalties called on us?
Sounds about right. Era?
Yeah. Hello?
No, you got me, buddy. I thought you had something beyond that.
But no, so I'm just saying, like, so I'm done complaining about the penalties because last year we were top three, I believe, in penalties, and we still made the playoffs. So at this point, I'm done beating that dead horse. And sure, and you made a point earlier about the media in Cleveland, and you said this in front of Jason Loy when I gave him his flowers last week or whatever when he was talking about Deshaun. And it is true. And I've been faulted this too. I was a Baker bro, and I was a big Deshaun Watson fan too. So this wasn't like, hey, I'm against him. I screamed like a little girl when we got Deshaun Watson, okay? But this just isn't it. Like, it's not it. And I'm not saying that game was on Deshaun. And I agree with most people. That was his best game. But why are we so limited on offense? We had offensive line issues last year. We had penalty problems last year. Well, it's because our offense can't score and our defense is on the field a bunch. And we're limited. We're throwing 5 yards a pass attempt. And I know, I get it. He had some good passes. Amari had the worst drop I've ever seen in my life. I don't even think I saw Odell Beckham drop a pass like that. That turned into an interception. And that 2019 year, guys, if you want to go back, I know a lot of people killed Baker for those picks. Go back and see how many of those picks turned into drop catches that picks. There was a lot of them. And I'm just sick of seeing it because it's just like, why is this always happening in Cleveland? Maybe we're cursed. I don't know. But what I do know I was sold on is that this was a Super Bowl-ready team and they were a quarterback away. And Deshaun was supposed to be the son that was promised. And as of right now, the promises look so – like they look worse than the weather outside right now. I don't even know where to start with this team. We're gonna blame Stefanski. Oh, you want to blame Andrew Berry because he's not drafting well? It's a collective failure. And I think it doesn't just start with them. It goes up to the Haslams and everything that they do. And just, they grind my gears. And we're talking about stadiums in the off seasons, and we're not talking about roster issues. We're boasting up. And, oh, we got coach of the year here, but we completely change our offense.
Josh,
to fit this guy. And it's not working, bro.
We're up against it, buddy. I appreciate you. And the one thing you and I absolutely agree on is it's a collective issue. We're going to hear Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up in the next hour. JP joins his co-host on 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.